As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Good to be with you. A lot of people weighing in on the Rockets. We're going to get to the NFL draft here in 2 seconds. The replay of the game is on in the studio here, so I've kind of been keeping an eye on it. And, yeah, I agree with this texter. Did illegal defense just disappear? Felt like the Warriors zone had a lot of guys just hanging around in the lane and not covering anyone. That's true. You're allowed to play zone, but you can't just pack the paint. And it did feel like every time the Rockets drove into the paint, there were like 7 Warriors there. But I didn't feel that in the moment.
NBA officials would never allow something slide with the Warriors.
Right.
Mercy me.
Right.
Yeah.
They would never.
If they can't actually see why a ball is going out of bounds, we can't also. How are they supposed to keep a clock in their head with the guys in the paint?
Yeah.
No. Don't ask too much of these guys when it comes to the Warriors.
Yeah. Any chance we could see Cam Whitmore come in and take Curry out at his knees next game? Okay. I like where you're, like where your head's at, Texter. Cam's going to be a goon. The shots he was making were ridiculous. Indeed they were. We'll talk more Rockets here in just a little bit. The NFL draft is this week, Thursday night. Gets started at 7 o'clock. The Rockets, as of right now, picking 25th. And we'll see what happens. This we know. There will be trades. Nick Caserio is going to trade at some. I don't know if he's going to trade the 25th pick. But
the biggest tell, I think, in Nick's press conference when he said our board is probably smaller than a lot of other teams' boards, suggesting there's only so many guys that the Texans really feel good about in general. So that's a classic. Okay, let's consolidate some of these picks. Mm-hmm. There's only so many guys left that we really like, and Nick just trades a bunch anyway.
Yeah,
so the 25th, I'm feeling more and more like there might be a trade out of the first round. I feel like it's more likely. I'm still putting it at less than 50%, but I'm moving more towards, okay, I'm not going to be surprised one bit if he trades out of the first round.
I can definitely see it. And again, the thing, I think one of the big things to pay attention to, and we'll get to Jonathan Alexander's best case, most likely case, worst case here, and see, we'll run this through the Payne and Pendergast filter here. I think the big thing to watch is these quarterbacks. If the quarterbacks start slipping down the board, the Texans sitting at 25 there. If these quarterbacks somehow make it past the Steelers at 21, the Texans sitting at 25 are in a really good spot to put their pick up for sale for a team that's looking to trade back into the first round for a quarterback.
Especially because the Texans are right before the Rams, and the Rams are a team that you could totally see taking a, I don't want to say a flyer, but you could totally see them taking a guy that might be a little
guy,
bit of a project,
you
know, and is Matt Stafford for the next year or two until he decides to retire. Let's bring this kid in.
Absolutely.
So I think I could see a lot of teams wanting to get ahead of the Rams.
All right. Before we get into Jonathan Alexander's best case, most likely case, worst case here, this is important here. Here was Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, former scout, mock draft, always more accurate than most. And he said this about who he thinks the Texans will be drafting on Thursday.
The Houston Texans, it's going to be the law firm of Booker or Banks. Like they're drafting an offensive lineman between those two guys, whoever's there.
Okay, so then Booker and Banks are Tyler Booker, the guard out of Alabama, and then Kelvin Banks, the tackle who might be a guard, played tackle in college. Seems like he's being forecasted either tackle or guard at the NFL level out of Texas.
Yeah, and I think that's what's appealing to Kelvin Banks is that the fact that I could totally see him going down and playing guard. I think he does a lot of really good stuff in the run game. That scratches an itch that we feel. So amongst a lot of these offensive tackles, if you look at, say, Josh Connerly Jr. or Kelvin Banks, which guy, you know, more likely boosts your run game in year one if he plays? I would say Kelvin Banks 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And he could play guard. And I could also see Kelvin Banks moving down to guard more so than Josh Connerly.
Yes,
so
for sure.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I wouldn't get too hung up on those names specifically just because Daniel Jeremiah would tell you he has no idea whether Booker and Banks will be there, at 25.
Yeah.
Based on mock drafts and everything, it looks like there's a much better chance that Tyler Booker will be there at 25. So that's where it gets interesting. Kelvin Banks has been getting drafted around 15 or so. Tyler Booker has been getting drafted after pick 25. So if the Texans get to 25 and Tyler Booker is still there, what do they do?
My takeaway from Daniel Jeremiah there isn't that's who the Texans are taking. It's that's who they want to take. You know, they like both of those guys. So this is interesting. Jonathan Alexander, in his best case, most likely case, and worst case, all involve offensive linemen. What if, Seth, what would we be saying after day two is over if the Texans had Kelvin Banks fall to them at 25, they take him, and then Tyler Booker slips into day two, and the Texans use one of the picks from the Tunsil trade, you know, either the third rounder this year or the second rounder next year, to move up from 58 to whatever pick it would need to be, probably somewhere in the 40s, to draft Tyler Booker. And you come away with Kelvin Banks, Tyler Booker, and you haven't gutted your draft capital in doing so because you've got extra picks right now from the Tunsil trade.
I would be excited about it. And I don't get as excited about the draft as some people because I just feel like every single one of these guys is always a gamble and an unknown, but it's an aggressive addressing of what the Texans need to do, which is fix their offensive line. I think that in a lot of ways, the people that were left wanting or wondering after the Texans got rid of three of their starting offensive linemen from last year and then didn't really make a bunch of breathtakingly aggressive moves, that would feel like, okay, this is breathtakingly aggressive.
Yes,
I feel good about this.
This would be the series of rebuild moves where the ferocity matches the teardown. You know, that was a ferocious teardown for a few days when you cut Shaq Mason, trading Laremy Tunsil, and then trading Kenyon Green. I didn't have a problem with any of those moves, just to be clear, but that, like, you don't see NFL teams do that. You know, you just don't see NFL teams do what they did. Those were aggressive moves by NFL standards. These would be aggressive moves the other way. You know,
they tore down the house after the hurricane because it was damaged. And you're thinking, look, we got this insurance money coming. But meanwhile, you're sitting there a few months later and your family's looking at you and like, we're still in a FEMA trailer. What are we doing here? How long are we going to be in a FEMA trailer?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
I have wants. I have needs. Mm-hmm. I have desires. Yeah. Treat me like a lady, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Build me a house.
Right.
Feel like. Yeah, it would feel like you had actually started construction on your new
home. Yes, Friday night, all of a sudden, three big trucks with just a bunch of plywood on the back of it coming in. You know, siding and everything else. Big cement mixers, the whole thing. So that's best case. I think Texan fans would get super... That's about as excited as I think you'd see an NFL fan base get about a draft where the first two picks are offensive linemen.
Yeah. I don't think it's that uncommon. I think NFL fans, they watch an entire season, and if their quarterback's getting battered, then those teams tend to be pretty thirsty for big fat guys.
Yeah.
And, they're not all fat. They got, you know, lots of muscle mass there, too. But give me some fatties.
How about this one? Most likely case. This is Jonathan Alexander from The Chronicle. Most likely case. Banks is gone by the 25th pick. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Booker is there, so they take him. And then they do the trade up in the second round to get Josh Connerly. So a similar trade, just a different name. So you walk away from the draft with Booker and then Connerly in the second round.
Were they... Okay.
They trade up to get Josh Connerly.
They trade up in the second round.
In the second round. Like the same thing we just did with Banks and Booker. They do with Booker and Connerly.
No. I'd be really happy about that, too.
You like Connerly.
I like Josh Connerly's upside. Yeah. I think he's got he does a lot of things athletically in terms of the way he moves that are hard to just – you can't train it, you know? Do they have to get stronger? Nick talked about that, too, about how all these guys have to get stronger. And Connerly looks like a guy that, yeah, he has to put on – he's got to get a little bit NFL stronger. I can draw some comparisons to Laremy Tunsil in a good way where I don't know how much extra strength Josh Connerly is going to build because he looks and moves a little bit like a Laremy Tunsil where he doesn't have a huge frame. I think he shows a real willingness to run block, and I think he wants to get after it. He just needs to keep working at his technique. But I think athletically it's just hard to find guys like him that move the way he does.
The worst case, but still not bad, Jonathan Alexander says, is that there's a run on offensive linemen. They're left with someone like Connerly falling to them at 25, or they go best player available there at 25. Yeah. And I would say, look, I would take the worst case a step further and say Connerly could also be gone by 25. I mean,
he's, you know,
if there's a run on offensive linemen, that's going to hasten people wanting to take possibly Josh Connerly, you know?
I'm way higher on Connerly than a lot of people, I think, but Connerly is one of those classic risers where the mock drafters are starting to realize and get intel from teams that some of these teams really like Josh Connerly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't look at any of Jonathan's examples as being all that much better or worse case scenarios. I'm cool with all of those. I think, as one of our listeners, Twistopher Robin on X, pointed out the other day, you got to remember, it's a good name.
It's a great name.
You have to remember, too, we talk about, like, hey, you got to help out CJ. Hey, you got to help out CJ. You know what helps out any quarterback is better offensive players in general.
Yeah.
And that you can help out the offensive line a lot at times by having a better passing option, a receiving option at tight end, at wide receiver, or a tight end who is a better pass blocker. So I'm not as married to, you got to get an offensive lineman. The best player available dynamic at 25, if you just really feel like it's a wide receiver at that point or a tight end, then by all means, go for it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Text message.
But I really want an offensive lineman.
Text message. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Those two scenarios, best case and most likely case, both feel like excessive use of draft capital on the offensive line.
How many picks was he giving up in any of the
One of the Tunsil picks. Either I think he gave up the third rounder, the extra third rounder that they got this year. Yeah. Might have been the extra two next year, but it's one of the premium picks from the Tunsil trade to move up.
Yeah, I'm growing less. I usually veer towards, like, I just want numbers, just give them to me. I think if you're giving up one or two of those more premium picks, you know, not a number one overall pick, especially to specifically address some of the things that really hurt right now, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I am
I've loosened up a little bit.
I am too. I'm cool on the best player available thing. With the worst case, if it's, you know, defensive line, they have odds out actually now. Go ahead, Seth.
Well, there was a time in Texans history where we looked at third round picks like, whatever. You know, they don't just even. But then Nick's been really good with his third round picks.
Excellent.
You got Jonathan Grenard, Nico Collins. I mean, Davis Mills to a certain extent, given the circumstances, it wasn't good. But
Grenard was Jack Easterby's pick, remember?
That's right. Oh, that's right. Excuse me. I was a year too early. That's right.
Yeah.
By the way, people mischaracterize that. It wasn't Jack Easterby's pick. That's who they had to pick because Jack Easterby screwed up
a trade with the Lions.
People act like, oh yeah, that was who Easterby had identified chose.
I'm being completely sarcastic. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Tank Dell, Kalen Bullock, people have been very, very, that's worked out really well.
Day two has been all right. Day two has been all right to the Texans in the Nick Caserio era, for sure.
It's not the Lewis Nix era of third round picks.
Sam Montgomery.
Brennan Williams or Sam Montgomery.
Braxton Miller. Oh, yeah. There were some dude. Jalen Strong. I don't even have it in front of me. I can recite it freaking chapter and verse, man. The third round under Rick Smith. Woo. That was good stuff.
This is definitely more for a podcast, but yeah, I would like to go through and power rank the third round picks from the Texans. Because there have been some really good ones and there have been some really regrettable ones.
Yep. The odds makers say that they are like 70% taking an offensive lineman. Minus 240 is the odds on them taking an offensive lineman. They have odds out on the on each position. Wide receiver is 4-1. I think at 25, if it's 4-25, I feel like right now if Matthew Golden is not there, mm-hmm. or the McMillan kid out of Arizona, then it's probably not going to be wide receiver at 25.
And I think the one thing that people are ignoring a little bit is the swarm quotient, which here in Houston, we're much more sensitive to it, obviously.
Yes.
But the, you know, when I see some of the people that think they're slam dunk picks, I start to look at some of the wide receivers and some of the other players where I just, man, I don't know. There's a little too much smoke around these guys. Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle, is a big one that when I watch him play, I think, okay, that guy's swarm. He's swarm as hell. But then you see other reports about how he might have a little too much of that classic old D-line temperament of being a little. what did John Harris say? He might get upset and walk out of practice.
Walk out of practice is the one thing I remember from that. Yeah.
It's tricky with defensive linemen because some of that just comes. If you're there's crazy crazy and then there's Charles Haley crazy.
Yes.
What's the difference? How good a football player are you? And as a defensive lineman, if you're Charles Haley crazy, the question is, okay, are you as good as Charles Haley? Then we're not worried about
it. That's right. Yeah. No, if you're going to be a Hall of Famer, then go ahead and be crazy for sure. Yeah. Defensive line is next on the list. They've got O-line is minus 240. So you got to risk 240 to win 100. So that's a heavy favorite. Wide receiver, 4-1. Defensive line is next at 5-1. If they took a defensive lineman, if I told you, Seth, the Texans are taking a defensive lineman at 25, you have to guess who the defensive lineman is. Who would you guess it is right there?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. It's not going to be Mason Graham because he'll be gone.
Yeah.
A lot of people are wondering, like, between Derek Harmon, yep. the defensive tackle out of Oregon, and yep. Walter Nolan, those are the two most likely candidates. And I would say, honestly, based on film, I personally like Derek Harmon more, but I think Walter Nolan does a lot of those things that DeMeco really likes. Like, he is a menace. I would say Walter Nolan is who I guess they would take. But I just don't know with some of the reports about there might be character concerns or not, when I watch Walter Nolan play, I think, okay, his character concerns might be kind of the right kind of character concerns. Is that he's got maybe he's kind of temperamental. As a defensive lineman, sometimes that's a really good thing, but I just don't know.
Well,
so I would say I'm guessing it would be Walter Nolan. Personally, I like Derek Harmon, but it's kind of a wash. They're just different types of players.
Where's your guy Kenneth Grant fit into that mix?
Oh, Kenneth Grant, I just see him going lower and lower in mock drafts, so it makes me second guess just based on consistency.
Yeah.
I don't think they look at him as consistently productive. I really, really like his upside.
I know you like him, yeah. That's why I asked.
That's one where the guys who have watched 10 games of the All-22 copy and everything have seen more of the downside of him than I have. I've seen the downside. I don't have access to all these All-22
Not copies. To that extent. Right. I'll tell you the one that if I were inclined to bet on this, and again, we're going through the odds of the Texans, what position they're going to draft in the first round, tight end at 50-1 feels like, I don't know, like if Colson Loveland from Michigan slips to 25, like I don't think tight end should be off the board for the Texans. And if Nick Caserio is true to his word on not drafting on need, I could see, especially with Nick Caley in the room there, a former tight ends coach. Like, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying at 50-1, you know, to put the Texans' chances of drafting a tight end similar to what it is them drafting a safety, which they don't need at all, I think is a little over the top. I'd sprinkle $10 on 50-1 for a tight, or Tyler Warren starts to slip into the high teens or low 20s, and that's a guy who's a difference maker.
Let me look and see where Colson Loveland is going. And part of that, too, is I think people look at the Texans' depth chart and think, okay, well,
they got Schultz. Yeah,
they re-signed Brevin Jordan. Yeah. Schultz is on a longer contract. Colson Loveland's going on average around 16 or 17.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that he might slip down there.
Yeah.
I don't think I think that would be a scenario where if there weren't any offensive linemen that the Texans really liked at that point or wide receivers, and Colston Loveland was still there, I think 100% they take him. I don't think Colston Loveland's going to fall that far.
Yeah.
But if he does, I don't think the Texans worry about their depth chart in the room.
No.
They figure out a way. Especially because Brevin Jordan's kind of a... He's like a beefy slot receiver in a lot of respects.
Yes.
That you can do some funky things with.
Yep.
I don't think that's a guy that squeezes out the number of tight ends in the room if they feel like maybe he's their fifth best option at wide receiver / tight end.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'm not predicting there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Taking Colson Loveland at 25, I'm saying I would bet on that at 50-1. You know, at 50-1, I think there's value there. A couple texts and then we'll get into acknowledge me. The Rockets looked like U of H last night. Not one offensive dominant player, turnovers, missed free throws, and a lack of defense. I disagree with that last part. I thought they played pretty good defense last night.
It was a low scoring game. That's why they looked like the University of Houston to a certain extent.
The
score was still 69-65, 11 with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Defense wasn't the problem. They limited them. Steph Curry making those circus shots, you can say that, all right, he was well defended on those. If those don't fall, the problem is that Steph Curry is going to have games where he makes those circus shots.
Yeah.
And that also the energy that you put out in trying to force him into those circus shots ends up giving opportunities elsewhere. Yeah, they just got to flat out figure out a way to be better than 50% from the free throw line and 20% from three.
Yes.
That, you know, Jalen Green's got to be better, but at the very least, the Warriors were focusing in on Jalen Green. The other guys are just missing wide open shots and opportunities. You're exactly right. They didn't. They looked like a college team.
Yep.
They look like a college team of a bunch of guys who are like, hey, well, this is what happens when you only have a year or two in basketball before you go on to the NBA.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of guys looked like it was their first playoff game last night, for sure. And then there were some guys who it definitely wasn't their first playoff game, and they looked like it was their first playoff game last night. Looking at you, Van Vliet. All right, let's get to Acknowledge Me. We do this each and every Monday. We acknowledge the big performances from over the weekend. I will say a name. Our producer, Ben Gary, will give us a little Roman Reigns. Acknowledge Me. WrestleMania weekend in the books. Get to that and Acknowledge Me a little later. But let's start with Cam Smith. We're acknowledging Cam Smith for his first two-home run game on Friday. Starting to look like some things are falling into place for him. He is going to be the regular right fielder here. You know, I feel like, Seth, I said this earlier, I feel strongly again. Cam Smith is going to have his ups and downs. I don't think it's going to be as drastic as it was the first week and a half of the season when they needed to dial him back and probably sit him down in front of a laptop and look at a bunch of his swings and, you know, look at tendencies for pitchers and things like that. Like Cam Smith, he's starting to do some good things here.
There was some relatively simple fix that they were working on with him when they sat him down for two games, mm-hmm. moving a little closer to the plate and some of his judgment. The positives are so positive at this point. And he's shown the ability to hit for power multiple times on Friday night. And defensively, he's made some really good plays. He's had a couple of errors where he very much looks like a guy who's playing right field for the first time. Mm-hmm. But to flash this much as he has, this is about as well as I could have hoped for. You know, ideally, if he had come out and just been raking the entire time, so be it. This has been really, really good. The positives are so positive, and the potential is obviously there that I feel really good about him. Paris Chica is the guy that's got to get in the simulator, Sean. Paris Chica, the third base coach. Hey, boy, it's been a comedy of miscommunications and errors and misjudgments by Paris Chica as the third base coach at this point.
Yeah.
He's sending guys when they shouldn't be sent. Guys are ignoring him wholesale. He's got no respect right now. By the players at large feel like, I'll choose or not choose to follow your instructions, Paris Chica.
I saw a theory on the internet this weekend on Twitter that I couldn't tell if it was serious or not, that maybe they've got a sign that Paris Chica is giving guys to go home that looks like a stop sign to kind of deke the opposing, you know, to deke the opposition there. And it looks like a stop sign, but it's really something else.
That would make sense, except for the multiple instances where, like, Yiner, he was telling Yiner to go home, and Yiner thought, no, I'm going back to third.
Maybe he's got vertigo or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I like the conspiracy theory, but I'm not sure I'm buying it.
No, I was not buying it, but that it was out there for sure. So we acknowledge Cam Smith.
If I cherry pick, by the way, going back to game 7, I very much cherry picked this, but through the last 11 games, Cam Smith is hitting .289 with a .904 OPS.
That's not cherry picking. That's all we got at this stage. We've only played 21 games as a team this season, so that's
I went back, you know, like games 5 and 6, he hadn't had hits, so I just saw, like, okay, let's start at game 7 through 17. In those 11 games, he's been an above-average baseball player.
Hey, man, anytime you're trying to support your point, you pick the juncture in the season where they start to play in a manner that supports your point.
Well, but he's a young player, too. Yeah. You know, it's not like, I'm not cherry-picking there. That was after his two-game layoff.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not cherry-picking whatsoever. Yeah. He made the adjustments. Since he's made the adjustments, he's got a .907 OPS.
Thank you. Yeah. I remember he had played 6 games, and then they sat him down. I'm like, what are we doing here?
I retract my cherry-pick.
Yeah. Oh, who cares, man? You do what you do to support your argument. Because we all know how important being right is in this business. Steven Adams, 20 minutes, 12 rebounds. Steven Adams, you are swarmy. We would take you on the Houston Texans in a heartbeat as a big defensive end coming off the edge with that big paw trying to knock down passes.
Get cut blocked so much.
He was the only one. You said this, he would get cut blocked. I hadn't looked that deep into the box score. You said Steven Adams is the only one that had a positive plus minus for the Rockets.
Plus minus. He was plus 4.
It felt that way last night. Like, man, Steven Adams was doing some really good things. When he was on the floor, I mean, he's just a machine on the offensive glass. He's ripping balls away from guys, getting second shots for the team. You can only play him so much. I know that Ime was asked about that after the game. They're like, yeah, he's like, yeah, kind of 20 minutes is kind of the limit. But it was a good 20 minutes, man. 12 rebounds for Steven Adams. Got a few buckets for you out there. So kudos to Steven Adams. Someone said on the text page, everyone not named Şengün played like crap. Don't see us making shots like that or missing shots like that again. I don't think they'll have as bad a 3-point shooting night again as they had. It's hard to be worse than they were last night. I disagree that Şengün's the only one that didn't play like crap. Steven Adams was good for them last night, I thought.
Yeah.
He was good. The big man was good. I'm going to acknowledge the crowd, too. Rockets crowd. I know it's an 8:30 game, so you had plenty of time to get there, but it was Easter. Crowd looked to be in their seats at tip-off and they were really loud. Like that, I don't know. If you were at the game, text in. That translated on the air to me. It sounded like that. I mean, and Craig Ackerman was saying it on the broadcast. He's like, it has not been like this since the Golden State series that, you know, like back in the day, like the James Harden, Chris Paul, like a long time since it sounded like that at Toyota Center. Good job, crowd, last night. You look a little
acknowledge
skeptical.
Yourselves. You pretend it's Easter on Tuesday, pretend like it's Easter.
Yep. A lot of questions coming in on the Rockets. We'll get to those. We're doing acknowledgments right now. All right. Oklahoma City Thunder. I have to acknowledge when a team plays really, really well this weekend. They won by 51 points over Memphis in the first game of their first-round playoff series, the 1-8. That is the biggest margin in a series opener in NBA history. That is the biggest margin in an Oklahoma City playoff win. That is the biggest margin in a Memphis playoff loss. Ja Morant had one of the sillier promises after this game yesterday. Here was Ja Morant after the 51-point loss to Oklahoma City.
Joe, what do you tell new guys after something like after a game like this?
We'll never, play that bad again. They had a lot of easy looks, was pretty much getting to, wherever they wanted on the floor. And offensively, taking care of the ball.
Okay, so the question was, what do you tell the guys in the locker room after that? We'll never play that bad again. God, I hope not.
Yeah, that's statistically, it's very unlikely.
It's hard,
fellas. That's it's hard to
try.
I mean, I could see us losing by 40, maybe 35, but it's very unlikely, improbable that we'll ever lose by 50 in a play. And hey, we can never lose in an opening playoff game like that again. At least the series, yeah.
It was kind of fun this weekend. You know, I don't have it on the rundown, Ben, but Minnesota Timberwolves. I liked watching you guys run the Lakers off the floor. I got great joy out of that, watching LeBron and Luka get run off the floor by the Timbies.
Yeah, that was cool. And then, Redick was very careful to point out that there was nothing about coaching or scheme that was the issue.
He was.
He said, hey, we're not doing anything wrong out there or anything. It's just other than we got to play better.
Gotta
it's not
execute.
The scheme. It's not the scheme.
Got to execute. Got to go execute.
Job, Redick.
Yeah. Okay, Slowick. Yeah. JJ Slowick.
Have fun with your best bud podcast partner.
Yeah.
LeBron. If
sipping your
wine. Holding to that narrative if this doesn't work out.
That's right.
I'm sure you'll never be the one left holding the bag. That's, yeah.
Oh no, not at all. No, not at all. Not at all. We mentioned this story last week a couple of times, but it's acknowledged me. So it's important that we acknowledge Lee Corso. Official acknowledgement of his career in the Acknowledge Me segment. And we had this question last week, or we posed this question last week. What happens to the gimmick that's made Lee Corso so wildly adorable and popular, the headgear selection for the big game of the week? Reese Davis was asked about this. He was on, it looked like CNN or Fox News. He was on like a big news outlet. Corso retiring was big news. And he was asked about the headgear gimmick. Who's taking that thing over?
One, you can never replace Lee Corso. I mean, as you just noted there, like to hear how he interacted with the crowd. But are the headgear picks still going to happen? Is that still something y'all have to decide?
I think I'm going to have to tackle anybody that tries to do a headgear pick, either other than Lee Corso. That, to me, is his signature moment, and it should stay with him, in my judgment. And I will fight very hard not to be overruled or vetoed on that, because many people tell me that it's just something that they look forward to every week, and I think that is his and his alone.
Okay. So the only thing I would tell Reese Davis
Yeah.
Is that if that baby gets sponsored, somebody is doing a headgear gimmick.
Well, especially if maybe if you figure out a way to get Lee Corso, get a little taste of it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just have a Lee Corso. That might be an interesting one, though, too. We have no idea. You know, Lee Corso is 90 years old. I don't want to, like, hopefully turn it into anything bad or anything. But maybe he's still with it enough to just do a...
Oh, do the headgear?
A two-minute recorded segment. And you bring it out with Lee Corso himself doing it.
Okay, that's an idea. I still like the idea.
Like, Reese Davis is going to take on the Masked Singer next. Yeah. I don't know. And this is copyright infringement as well.
Right. Reese Davis is channeling Florio.
Lee Corso started this whole thing. He's tackling actual mascots on the sideline. Yeah.
Do you watch the Masked Singer?
No, I don't like it. It's unsettling to me. I can't watch it for more than 20 seconds before I turn it away. It gives me creepy feel.
Yeah, it's very strange. Amy watches it sometimes. It's a very strange show.
Is it weird, though, that it creeps me out a little bit?
No, not at all.
I feel like I might have some repressed memory somewhere.
I don't think so. Okay.
One thing I've learned about repressed memories, it's don't bother digging, man. Just let it be.
Let it be.
That thing's repressed for a reason. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do something the Texans did on social media this weekend with a graphic. And it must be because the draft is coming up and they could be looking at one or more Alabama players. We know that the Texans love drafting guys from Alabama. So I'm going to acknowledge the Texans employees that are on this graphic saying, Houston Texans, Alabama Crimson Tide. And it's posted on their social media. D'Amico Ryans, Christian Harris, Henry Toa Toa, and Will Anderson Jr. If I'm John Metchie, I'm going, hey guys, I went to Alabama. Why am I not on this random graphic that you're posting touting the connection between the Texans and Alabama? This is messed up.
That is messed up.
It's messed up. I mean, is there a thing?
Well, a lot of research that goes into these things.
I guess it doesn't say this on here anywhere, but I'm going to try to give the Texans the benefit of the doubt. Maybe if it's just defensive guys. Right, like if it's.
I'm trying to come up with why.
No, it doesn't. It does not say that anywhere. You're absolutely right. Yeah,
that seems exact. God,
it just says Roll Tide and has this graphic with Texans and Alabama Crimson Tide and has those four guys. If I'm John Metchie, I'm like, hey man, at least I was on the field last year. Christian Harris played like 50 snaps the whole year. The hell's he doing on here instead of me?
That is, that's a good catch by you, Sean.
Thank you.
I kind of just skimmed right past it feeling like, oh, yeah, that's good engagement by them. And maybe if they're doing the next level social media strategy would be like, hey, people are going to notice that John Metchie's not on here. And because of that, it might go viral because of it.
Oh, maybe.
It'll get more engagement with people being irate about John Metchie not being on.
Sorry, John. We didn't mean to alienate you. We just needed more engagement on Twitter. Sorry about that.
You know the deal, right, kid? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of messed up. But that said, Texan social media team does an amazing job. So I maybe there's a reason for it. I don't know. John Cena, he is now the first ever 17-time WWE champion, Seth, after last night. The heel turn that I outlined on this show a couple of months ago in Acknowledge Me came to full fruition. And John Cena, with the help of Travis Scott, of all people, beat Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed WWE Championship last night.
If there's anything I know about quasi-sports events and elections, it's that now that he's the champion, he's not a heel and he's universally loved. People haven't accepted him.
They were booing.
Champion.
He won by cheating last night. He cheated.
He
hit Cody with the belt right upside the head. Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Yeah.
Oh, the cruel irony.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You hit him with a belt.
Yeah.
And that.
The ref had been knocked out. So the ref didn't see it. So Cena, spoiler alert for anybody who didn't see it, Cena knocks him out with the belt, and the referee comes to and crawls into the ring and gives a 1, 2, 3.
That's why I think it's good that pro wrestling has made a wise decision in not adopting instant replay, because it does feel like a lot of the storylines.
No, the worst is randomly, once in a while, like when it comes to logic, randomly once in a while, a second ref will come out and say, no, that guy did this. I'm like, why this match?
They do.
Why this match are they doing it?
They never have a discussion with the commentary about what is reviewable and what is not, right?
No.
I can remember when I was a kid when I was into it, and you're innocent, you don't know about what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
I remember being so angry about the stuff they got away with when
totally
the official wasn't looking.
Being mad about this.
All the injustice of it, it drove me insane.
Oh my God.
I would stew about it for days.
For days.
It's one thing if somebody betrays each other. Yeah, and the whole inconsistency around the officiating on tag teams, that would really drive me nuts. Like they're so strict about having to slap yourself in so many instances until it really, really matters.
It's the best. It is the absolute best. Texans didn't include Cam Robinson either. That's true. Cam Robinson went to Alabama. That's true. Someone said Mechie was taking the picture. Now that would be insulting, I would say.
You know what I noticed this Easter Sunday?
Yeah.
This is the the tax you have to pay for having the longest arms in the room is that I'm always the one holding the camera with selfies. Which means that I always have the most warped and distorted looking face.
But it, but if that weren't
in
the case,
photo.
If that weren't the case, we never would have met Cam Smith's mom.
That's right.
You know, if you weren't the long arm guy that was taking pictures. Text message, WWE, please, only for weirdos. Okay. There were several million weirdos that watched that. Yeah, everybody's weird for something, man.
Hey, like, buddy, you're texting into a sports show about it. Join the club of weirdos.
Exactly,
all right?
Exactly.
None of this matters.
Sorry, sir, I forgot the things that you do niche-wise are all mainstream and, you know. Like, everybody's a nerd for something, man. It's what it is. I admit it.
I see that lingerie you're wearing underneath your slacks.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You freak you.
I know what you're into.
Yep. All right. That was Acknowledge Me. All right. Mock draft injection time. We've only got a few of these left. The draft is on Thursday. This one is from Pro Football Network, and we will get into this. They've got the Texans making a trade. I'm looking forward to this. Would you do it with Seth Payne? Would he make this trade for this player? It's coming up next. All right, the mock drafts are getting real, man. It was about this time 2 years ago where we, I think, first saw that, like, a few days before the draft, maybe the day before the draft, where we saw Daniel Jeremiah saying, hey, you know what? I think I have the Texans taking C.J. Stroud and trading up for Will Anderson. So we'll see. Jeremiah's will be a draft we'll do for sure later on this week if he's got a final version of it. But this one is a this one had an interesting trade in it, which is why I wanted to do it. The draft expert's name is Ian Cummings, and he's with Pro Football Network, and it's a seven, I don't know if it's a seven round mock or not. We'll only hit the first round on this one because it's what's relevant. This particular mock draft has the Texans making a trade. This is a seven round mock, by the way. So here we go. The Texans have traded up, Seth, in this particular draft from the 25th pick. They've traded with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have the 21st pick.
The Steelers?
The Steelers.
The Steelers turned down an opportunity to... Is Shedeur Sanders already gone in this?
I think he goes much earlier here, yeah. And we'll get to what the Steelers end up doing, because the Steelers obviously moved back to 25. Very needy at quarterback right now. But the Texans trade... The Texans get the 21st pick. They flip-flop with the Steelers, who are now at 25. And in the process, Seth... They give up their second-round pick, the 58th overall pick, and one of their third-round picks next year. So that's a lot to move up four spots, a second and a third, to draft Kelvin Banks, offensive lineman out of the University of Texas. Is Kelvin Banks worth moving up four spots for?
Four spots and with a hefty price tag.
Giving up a second this year and a third next year.
That's where, you know, Jonathan Alexander and his mock had the Texans moving up to draft Kelvin Banks, but had a much more reasonable price tag.
He had them moving up to draft Tyler Booker, and that was in the second round.
No, his actual mock draft last week.
Oh, I thought you meant the article we did before.
No, his actual mock
draft last week. Sorry about that.
And it was a more reasonable price tag. This is a little bit rich to move up four spots. Yeah. I deny this trade. I'm the commissioner, and I say, no, this is too aggressive for Kelvin Banks,
damn
it. Yeah,
a second this year and a third next year. You know,
for a team,
to your point earlier, that drafts pretty well in the second and third round.
The other thing is that, interestingly, in this draft, Tyler Booker and Gray Zabel, a couple of the guards that the Texans might have been linked to a bunch of times, they're already gone. So I could see where maybe the Texans are starting to feel a little desperate. Maybe they only like a few offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So they're gonna move up and take them there. I feel like that's just a little too aggressive. I'm not opposed to them trading up to draft Kelvin Banks. I'm not sure at this price tag. Especially, did you say Matthew Golden is still available?
He's still available. I didn't said that yet. I was about to. He goes to the Packers at 23 in this draft. Now, would you make that trade up? You want an offensive lineman. I want Matthew Golden. I guess the question is, would I make the trade up of a second and a third? And I wouldn't do that to move up four spots to take Matthew Golden. You know, like, you're in the 20s now. Like, none of these guys, look, nobody's a sure thing even in the top five. But you're in the 20s now. Like, you're giving up potentially for a team that I think does a decent job evaluating on day two. You're giving up two future day two draft picks to, I guess, get a little more certainty with what you're doing there.
I guess the way this mock draft laid out, what happened was that a lot of the premier offensive linemen are gone already.
Yeah.
And that's where the The old, like, hey, no, we're not drafting for need or whatever, gets put to the test. Because if you're desperate for one of these, and maybe Kelvin Banks is the last guy you feel really good about available at that point, I feel like it would be approaching a desperation move that I'm not in the mood for.
Yeah, I'm not either, man. I'm not either. I'm not a fan of that move at all. Now, you mentioned the Steelers. They move back to 25, and in this particular mock draft, they still go quarterback, but they go Jalen Milroe of Alabama. See, I would be, I don't know, man. Jalen Milroe, who's going to be at the draft. So maybe he's hearing things. Who knows? But he's
Jackson Dart is still available too. So Milroe gets the nod over Jackson Dart.
And Jackson Dart, who is not going to be at the draft. He took his name.
Yeah, he just pulled out.
Just pulled out yesterday. Yeah, he goes to Cleveland at 30 in this particular one. So Cleveland moving back in. Yeah, see, Josh Connerly going at 31. I would take Josh Connerly at 25 and not give up those two picks. I would hang on to the 58th and the pick next year as well.
What would you lean towards if you're a prospect and you're kind of so-so about going in the first round or not? Would you go to the draft or not?
What would you do? I don't know if I'd go to the draft. Period. Like I think I'd rather be. I think I'd rather just chill at home, even if I was a top 10 pick.
I think I'd rather also, and I feel like I would have my agent say that it was because of the importance of being around family or something, but mostly it's social anxiety.
Yeah.
Not to mention the very real reason would be, man, this is going to be about to be a busy weekend, and I'm going to have to fly to my new team and meet a whole bunch of new people and everything, and I want to make it as straightforward and as simple as possible where I can get a reasonable amount of sleep, and I'm not traveling all over the country back and forth to and fro. Not to mention how they put them to work at the draft. They're going out and doing appearances and everything that weekend, the days leading up to it. I don't need all that.
It's a good question. Now, here in thinking it through, Seth, and thinking about places the draft has been, the very reason why I'm changing my mind on this is the very reason I probably wouldn't be a first-round pick in the NFL draft, which is
Green Bay.
If it was in Vegas or New York, I'd probably for sure go, you know? There sure is a lot to do. Green Bay? I don't know. Whatever. I would probably stay at home. I've been to one person's draft party ever, and it was Rick Meyer. I was at his house. He was the second overall pick in the draft and didn't go to the draft.
Oh yeah.
He stayed at home in Goshen, Indiana, and watched it with probably about 30 or 40 people, including myself, at his house. It was.
Were you good friends with Rick Meyer?
He was my brother's roommate.
He was your brother's roommate.
Yeah, I knew Rick since high school because he went to high school. He went to high school with my roommate in college, in Goshen, Indiana. So I'd known Rick since he was like 16 years old. So we still talk today.
Did you
today.
Cry when he got drafted?
No, well, only because of joy. I didn't cry, but I was disappointed because that was the Drew Bledsoe draft, and Drew Bledsoe went number one to New England, and I was living in Connecticut at the time, had no designs on moving to Houston. That would have been great going up to
you
all those Patriots.
You could have been an awesome hanger on.
Dude, you
could have been part of his posse. Would have been great.
Yeah. I would have been pushing people back for no reason when he walks into places. I'd have been really, really good at that.
You would have got him out all kinds of shady business deals.
It was pretty wild though, because New England didn't make their decision, at least outwardly, until that morning. So it was kind of wild watching him walk around the house on his phone. He didn't know where he was going until the second pick. And so
recorded.
It was 1993. Definitely not a cell phone. If it was a cell phone, it was a big Gordon Gekko brick phone. I think it was just the house, you know, the one where you pull
the cordless.
You pull the antenna out of the top, if I had to guess. I remember there being a big Nike cake there, like a huge Nike sheet cake in the middle of the table.
Cordless phone antenna. Underrated and forgotten torture advice for older siblings to smack their younger siblings with. Chased around
weapon?
The house. It's just like with my older brother whipping me in the legs, caning me with the antenna.
I never even thought of that. Wow.
He was such a bastard.
Missed opportunity. Yeah. All right, so there you go. There's the latest mock draft. Trade up for Kelvin Banks. What do you think? 713-5.
Too aggressive a trade for me. I like Kelvin Banks, but too aggressive for my blood.
The text page is agreeing with you on that. That feels a little rich. Someone said to Bill O'Brien, make that trade. I guess that's all you need to know about what people think of that trade. All right, let's circle back to the Rockets. Let's take last night's game and and put the players, how are we feeling about each of these guys? A lot of them their first playoff game. A lot of them, they've got a lot of playoff experience but played like it. Who are we feeling good about? Who are we neutral on? Who are we telling get the hell out of here after last night's game? We'll put them in buckets, the Rockets from last night. We'll do that coming up next.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.